won't get us there, you know, because we're kind to each other constantly. And
that's true. People are polite.
And it has almost no effect on sort of what humans as a whole are do or are thinking about doing.
This is like the most interesting thing I've thought about this week.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to hear 20 seconds of Spacer. It's the last Spacer of 2019. Next Tuesday, Transpositive will be here. Tuesday after, I'll be here with Preference. Thanks, Soumya.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Alan.
Happy New Year.
Much good health in 2020.
Thank you.
All right, Spacer.
Join K-Boo by December 31st and receive free gifts and prizes from the Give Guide. Just click the donate banner on the K-Boo app to keep community radio strong and vibrant in Portland and beyond.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO. Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
You got it right in eight. I think that's right.
Good evening. This is the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m., KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host, David Jefferson.
And you got Cam Jones sitting right next to you.
Sitting right here. It's a pleasure to be alive, to be able. We here, we breathing, we living, we eating,
yes.
You know, so a lot of things to be grateful for. So try to keep the I don't want to say gratuity, but you know, cause you might leave a couple extra dollars, but you know, the gratitude, gotta try to make sure that's a part of, you know, daily life and daily thanks, you know, just in order to keep the blessings rolling in.
You know, speaking of that, I had a moment sitting in traffic coming down to 26 on the way in here. And
every time I hear 26, I just think about 80 cars just back to back.
Yeah, it was probably double that.
Damn.
Yeah, it started right around the 217. That traffic was thick. But was coming down and had a moment. And this, I know this can sound all earthy and all that, but I was looking over at the trees just lined up for a moment and had plenty of time to look too. And was just realizing, like, bro, there's people that go through life and is never going to really see a cluster of trees like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? The things passing by just on a daily, and this is regular, just having the outdoors, like the Northwest in general. This is our legitimate backyard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just a quick drive. You don't have to drive hours somewhere to see landscape like you do. and kind of just looking around, it was just those moments of like, we got some great air.
Right.
You can drink out the tap. Like, that's a huge one.
Huge.
Because I forget that every time I leave town. I grew up in California, and I've been here long enough to have forgotten. So every time I go back, it's like that initial, let me just grab a cup of water.
You still forget, don't
forget.
You?
Forget. And that water's so heavy and thick. But yeah, it's just having that moment when I was coming down was just like I'm here. This is what I'm seeing.
Right.
You know what I mean? This isn't a picture. This isn't a postcard, or even just a thought.
Right.
Or is it a trip that I got to plan to make happen?
Hmm.
And it's just something about that was hella calming.
Yeah, man. I just think when you definitely stop and then you notice, you know, what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
I think just realizing that, you know, just being alive at the moment is just something you couldn't really control. You know what I mean? So realistically, it's just, technically, it's a miracle that you alive at this given time, you know. And I think it's just cool to take advantage of that and realize that and just kind of honor that, you know. And you know, you can use that energy to make the best, some of the most fulfilling moments of your life, you know.
Right.
Again, I'm of the opinion that a lot of times people kind of operate, communicate, treat each other, treat themselves as if they always gonna be here.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Many, many days left.
And it's like, and I don't think we realize that, you know, a lot of times, I mean, because we feel healthy, we feel vibrant, you know, we feel able. You know, as those feelings start to dwindle, you know, with age, and then I feel like people get more in reality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they start making wheels and stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, it definitely is good to, you know, keep that mindset even as a youth, or, you know, as soon as possible, because then I feel like you get to take advantage of life a little bit longer, you know, and not too late, you know. And I still believe that, you know, my opinion of life is really to give love and really find a way to accept it, you know, overall.
Right.
I don't really see how you can live a fulfilling life without love being, you know, the support base in most occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's always going to work, but, you know, I think in general, having that mindset and that heart set, I mean, it should guide you to some wonderful places, and, you know, you should enjoy some wonderful things, and you should meet some wonderful people under that premise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, take advantage. You here, you alive. I mean, we got a lot to be grateful for. A lot of things we wish we had, or, you know, we always often get caught up in the things we don't have, and then, you know, we realize that, man, that's not really even actually relevant to the long-term goal of actually just enjoying the moment. I mean, you always talk about that a lot, enjoying the moment, you know, and I think if you do that, you know, you minimize the chance for stress,
right,
and having to deal with all that, you know.
And if nothing else, you know, being in the moment and being able to really kind of using all your senses in the moment, right? Taking the time to actually listen,
right.
You know, just hearing the room, you know, if you're in a room, if you're out in public, just listening to the sounds of the city, the sounds of the country, rural road, wherever you're at.
Right.
Looking around, seeing those little things. Like, I know I'm a person that I notice like a weird, like just something on the wall. You know, I find myself sometimes sitting looking at the ceiling. Like, I say that all the time, and I know it's probably cliche to the people in my life of like, stop, look up. Like, I'll text that out, stop, look up. Forget to look up a lot. A lot of interesting stuff going on above eye level. A lot of time we so focused on what's in front of us, and that's where our eyes are at, or looking down at, you know, our computer screen, our phone. But sometimes just stopping and taking it in, right?
Right.
And actually being there. Because the thing is, like you talked about, you know, that life thing pass you up.
Right.
It can come at you fast and end just as fast. Mm-hmm. And the more that you're able to enjoy the moments and be in the moments that you have, I feel like you'll be more fulfilled because you'll have had more of the experience. There's so many of us that grew up living a fast life, had to grow up a lot faster. There's a lot of us that live that, right? And in our day-to-day stuff, you know, raising kids, having a family, whatever it is, trying to climb the corporate ladder, if that's the thing, you know, having your own business, you get so caught up in just the pace. It's the race, right? And in that, it's full speed ahead, full focus forward, and rarely having those times to sit and just be there and understand that, you know, we live in a place that the demand on us individually increases, and this is work life balance. It's just, it's increased all the way around. And with that being said, you're still in the room with people, right? You're still, you know, a 5 minute span of time with someone, with a loved one, a friend, you know, really just being there in that 5 minutes. And that's something that, you know, I have to take in, because I'm that, like, my brain is doing one thing, my eyes are doing another, my mouth might be doing another. You know, it's like senses are all over the place.
Right.
And having to catch myself in that and pull it back and understand it right now, this is what's valuable. Let me be right here. A lot with my daughter, like, I catch myself, you know, in the middle of preparing something, or I'm getting dinner and getting these clothes and stuff figured out, and she's talking to me, and I have to tell myself, like, stop and look at her.
Right.
Like, stop and look, because I don't want her to get used to just talking and me moving. So it's having to stop, look at her, make sure that I'm there, making sure I'm giving some information back so she knows that I'm not just saying, okay.
Right.
And I have to consciously think of that, right? Which, you know, you figure should be a given, but it's not always, because you're moving, you're getting things done. And I think that that is a big part, because what in the end am I gonna remember, that dinner or the conversation that me and my daughter had?
Right.
That me and the person I cared about, you know, those things. So it's like having to capture that in the moment. And again, you can be in the moment when you recognize it, but just one of those things of trying to recall or trying to remember to be there and what that can do. And also, not just for yourself though, it's also too for the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To have that moment. I feel like my pops is great at that, of you feeling like whatever you have to say is the most important thing in the world.
Right.
It's like he's in there, right?
Right.
And it's like those are the people that we typically look towards. You hear about that with like celebrities and stuff. You know, you hear those stories, and it's crazy because we hear and we champion, because it's so rare that people are feeling like they're engaged and invested when they don't have to be, right?
Right.
And so what that makes the people feel like is, hey, like I'm important, right? And so that being practiced just on a regular level, and again, not even just with people, you just being in the moment, taking it in. You know, think of something you've done. I'm sure you've been somewhere, bro. It's like, this is an important moment. Like, everybody couldn't be here, but still busy handling business. You got businesses to run.
Right.
So still, you know, making connections, doing whatever, and didn't get to fully take in that hour or so that you were somewhere.
Right.
You know, I've done it. I still have moments of, you know, that happening. And there's a lot of times I've been in these places and left like, I wish I would have been paying more attention.
Right.
Because I've looked around and see people that are fully into it. And I'm like, that's the in tune that I want to be able to get into.
Right.
You know, I think about, I've been to a couple of Broadway plays. Shout out my podcast co-host Morgan Jones. It's got Morgan. Me into a few of these plays. And, you know, and I look around and see people so into this. And, you know, the Broadway stuff ain't really my thing, but I've enjoyed the few that I've been to. But I look around and see, like, all the ages, you know, from young to old here, like, cheesing and tears welling up, you know, and it's like they're fully into this. And it's like that level seems peaceful. Like, when I look at that, it seems peaceful because they're invested fully in this moment. And it's like wanting to be able to get that to become more of my routine in things,
mm-hmm.
and not I'm sitting here paying attention with my eyes, but my mind is building a whole plan, figuring out the whole rest of the day. And how often that happens, again, that's a constant having to check that, because I don't think, again, it's a switch off, but having to constantly check that. And I think the better we can get at that, the more fulfilling some of just the basic things will be.
Mm.
Just the basic interactions, the basic moments. Sometimes just sitting out, I think about how many times I legit walk out of the office. Like I get in my office at 6 a.m. Good portion of the year is still dark, but I find myself about 10 o'clock, usually get up and just go, you know, circle the building or so. And I look up almost the whole time, not on my phone, like I'm staring at a screen most of the day. So getting up and just strolling and looking through the tree branches, just seeing the progression of the season and its effect on the trees,
right.
Watching. So I work close out to the airport. So just watching the path of the flights, right? Noticing on sunny days when the chemtrail planes pop out and just watching those streaks expand. Mm-hmm. You know, just some of those moments. And again, that might seem hella cliche, but think of if you put it in the context of how many people would give anything to be able to have the moments to stop and look up, right? would give anything just to be able to walk around, give anything to listen to birds going crazy in the morning.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like having to give those reminders and it may only happen, you know, once, twice, three times a week for people. You know, right. It's not like every single moment we're gonna be fully in. That'd be great, right? But we got a lot going on, but it's just, I think the effort to try to find that, find those moments and be invested in it. If not, just start at the smallest level of, you know, your interaction with your daily people, what's right around you, you know, in those car rides. Sometimes it's rolling that window down, taking some air, you talk love. I was loving them trees today. I was thinking like, man, I can take a deep breath, show all the love, exhale, give y'all some love, and it's repetitive, you know?
Right, right. I got a funny metaphor about the trees, which is pretty crazy. But just for the listeners out there, we appreciate you guys tuning in, as always. If you're new, just remember that this is the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. The idea of the show is to just create some great conversation over some sometimes uncomfortable subjects and things that we often miss in society regarding other people and how they may feel and what they be going through, you know, just to bring us closer and so that, you know, we can take advantage of our similarities as opposed to focusing on our differences, you know, which is something that we've always been taught, I believe, sort of naturally in society. And so the program is designed to just try to just challenge, you know, the way that we kind of handle and deal with the average citizen and just making sure it's all conducive to the strength and the fabric and relations that we're trying to build in the community overall, the world community. And if you want to call in, please do. We love phone calls, questions, advice or tips you want to give us or things that mean something to you, just let us know. Call in. We have 503-231-8187. So do not hesitate. I had this weird thing growing up that, you know, since you brought up the trees.
Okay.
I really have no idea where this came from. I think this is probably the beginning of my weirdness. When I knew something was, I ain't gonna say wrong with me, but when I knew I was a little bit different. I remember being, you know, in middle school and, you know, I would always go to, I don't know if I just didn't believe I was alive or what was going on, but I always felt like if I was alive, it must have been a miracle, or I had to double check and make sure I was actually alive. It's kind of weird, bro, but
where we going with this?
Yeah, I think maybe this is me trying to. I think this is me trying to immaturely build my relationship with the universe. So I would go stand in the kitchen window and I would look outside. And again, I was just a kid. I don't know if I was even a teenager. I probably was 13, 14, but. Mm. I would look out the window, man, and look at the trees, and I would always check to make sure that they were moving out the window. Yeah. Uh-huh. I would always look out. I don't know where this came from, but I was always stopping in the kitchen. I would look. I was like, are the trees moving? So I'd be super still, see if I can see them moving. And when they were moving, I knew that I was alive, and I was like, man, this is real. And if it was maybe a hot day or something and they weren't moving at all, I'd be like, uh-oh. Like, is this real or is that a picture of a tree or is that a tree? But, you know, I don't know. I just think that maybe maybe I've always subconsciously valued the idea of actually existing in this world on some level. And, you know, as I'm older now and the things that I concentrate on, you know, maybe it kind of made sense. Because I feel like, you know, I definitely need to take more advantage of life. But, you know, blessed and lucky for me, I was able to, before I got too old, you know, I was able to actually start to enjoy life for what it was. And, you know, implement a lot of passion and love in everything that I do, man. Right. And the universe is very, very grateful to people that do that. Right. So, just blessed to have the connection, man. And whether it was given to me or whether I found it, you know, just the fact that it's here, I really believe that, you know, we're going to get a chance to really enjoy life or what it was meant, the way it was meant to be enjoyed, you know. And I think this radio show is a part of that. Because, again, it's focusing on the idea of love and building on it and even creating new variations of it, you know, throughout different, you know, cultures and social arenas, which is pretty tight. So that's the beauty in it. We ain't going to go too deep on you guys out there.
You know, I was thinking about that, going back kind of what I was saying about the looking up. And I was thinking about how, you know, you talked about being a kid and just kind of that thing with watching the trees move. And what's interesting for me when it's when I find my moments of really being caught up looking up, whether it's day or night, I find that I feel like a kid again.
Right.
Like there's something about it, and I know it probably is linked to being young. One of my first things I wanted to be was an astrologist. And so having telescope setups, you know, out at night, having the star chart and, you know, doing that. So I think there's something that comes back along with just laying down in the park or something, just being, looking up, trying to figure out what these clouds are shaped like. So even as an adult, having those moments of doing that takes me back.
Right.
And it's just wild how, you know, and think of like the cheesy things of like, let's both look at the moon. Like, you can tell your significant other, and it's like, as cheesy as that may seem, but that's one of them things that no matter where you're at on this earth, we can both be at this same point, looking at this same point. And that's something crazy deep to me.
That is crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy deep. And again, just taking the moment of like the morning, some of the mornings when I drive in, being that I start so early, bro, it's crazy to be like the blue skies, but the moon is out there in a way that it looks photoshopped in real life. And it's like, why is it light and this moon is just like perfectly up there, but then I can look over there and see the sunrise happening. And just little moments like that, of and if that don't make you feel tiny, right? That's the other part, is like I do this weird spiral of thoughts, is what I call them typically, when it's like this general thought, and then it's like, how did I get here? from that initial thought. And one of the things I'll often find myself going to is, in moments like that, is thinking about how often do we think about just some of the simple stuff. You talked in the beginning about how it's almost a miracle that things are happening, right? That we're here right now.
Right.
You ever really like sit, I watch a lot of science shows, I follow a lot of science pages, and when it's simple things like breathing, like what it takes for your body to do that, right? Things that we don't have to consciously think about. These are things that just happen, right? Just our movements, what it actually takes to do all of the things that we do, and how none of that gets thought about really outside of people that's their profession, right?
Right.
And how often we risk all of these functions and don't see one another as really some crazy, like, stardust. Like, we didn't came together, and all these perfectly set up mechanisms are keeping us going. And I know this sounds spacey, and I don't even do drugs or anything, so I'm not on a limb right now. But this is kind of where my thought process goes when it's taking those times to kind of slow up. And the same thing when I'm sitting down and manage to notice an ant, and I'm just watching how this is working, and oh, okay, now there's two. Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, there's a bunch of them, and they're working together in this type of way, and can be stuck on that for 10 minutes, easy,
right?
And it's just, it's there's something in that. There's something to just.
It's got
to
be something.
There's something. And again, it's just from just looking up.
Right.
Excuse me. People, stop and look up.
I mean, you know, I don't want to get too deep in that because I'm sure people are like, okay, this show is getting weird. But the thing is like even as far as, you know, like where you was going with the ant, I mean, like all the animals, like they're perfectly equipped for where they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that is crazy. The way they breathe, like the way they walk, the way they hunt is all, you know, like perfectly craftily created just for their habitat and
in those conditions.
And they were born with these things. Like it's just crazy. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But no, just, I mean, the point is be grateful.
It's about being here. That's what all this is about being here. And the thing I think where you can even tie that in is the idea that if you're here, then that's equipping you to be great at your surroundings.
Right, right. Exactly.
The more that you're here, the more you're aware of what's going on around you right there. So the better you are to be in those situations. You know what I mean?
Right. And so the point is, you know, gratitude, you know, for who you are, how you were created, what you were created for, and making sure that, you know, you get a chance to take advantage of that while you're here, you know. There's no other beauty than to use all the tools that you were born with and some of the ones that you learned to actually succeed and manifest the life that you dream about, right. You know, so. I know you, is there something you wanted to touch on? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, my stuff is kinda, still all kinda in the same line.
Tied into that?
And it's just the idea, again, of you know, practicing your presence. Like, that's the phrase, right? And that's something that was running around in my head and I had, you know, kind of jotted some notes down on it. And just the idea of not only practicing being fully present in these moments, but also your actual presence, right? And understanding that, you know, the impact that you have on people. And as you continue to grow and you're going to these new levels, you're going to be sitting and coming together at these new tables, and you're going to be in these different arenas that may be different, right? As you grow and you develop, you understand that things about how you operate have to alter.
Right.
They have to change up. And as that's happening, you know, it's you're doing yourself a service by being aware of that, recognizing that, and taking the time to make sure that when you're present, it's leaving, it's having an impact, and when you leave, it's left something that people can take away.
That's right.
And yeah, we may have all the personality in the world, right? We may be good at all these things, but if you think that, you know, people who are great presenters, great orators, that they're just off the cuff, then you're a fool.
Right.
There's a lot of practice that go on behind the scenes to make things look easy.
Yes.
Just like your favorite athletes and entertainer. It's a lot of practice that goes in. That's why, you know, I can show Beyonce dropping, you know, her behind the scenes.
Coachella?
Yeah, and showing the lead up, like what that actually took. It look easy when she's on stage, right? That set always looks easy, but it's what's going in behind there. You know, them wet three-pointers, there's a lot of work that go in behind that, you know, and it's the same thing as we navigate. And I use specifically the idea of having these conversations, right? And these are things that you gotta continuously be working on. And one of the things that just outside of, you know, your ability to have a conversation is also taking into account like your facial expressions. Like that's something I have to mind and check. Because there's times I'm cool, but the blank face sometimes can come across as whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. I'm not saying you got to walk around all toothy, but understand that. Understand that the way your face is lined up, you know, changes the inflection.
Right.
Smiling while talking is a different vibe than having your mouth turned upside down. You know what I mean? Right. Understand that and understand the way that those words translate based on how you are, how you're set up,
right?
And then going back to the idea of being in that moment with your focus, right? Being focused in there as you're sitting and having these, pick up on what is it about people who have this magnetic aura to them. Like, what are the things that they're doing that you like? that you see the crowd respond to, or the group, or the room, mm-hmm. right? And take that into account, that that's probably something they've worked on. Some things are just there, right? Some right. people just have had it since childhood,
right?
But there's still work that goes into it, because if you talk to those people, they figured things out. They figured out formulas for themselves. They know how to work a room. They've paid attention. And so that's something that I think, you know, spending some time in your mirror. You know, you I know Oprah's talked about it. There's been a ton of people that I've listened to them talk about things and talk about how much value it is to sit in the mirror and have the conversation, mm-hmm. right? You have a, let's say you have a speech, you got a pitch or something that you're doing, you're trying to start up a business and mm-hmm. you're trying to, you know, get some people to invest. And if you're just going through this in your regular way and not really taking the time to practice your presence, that can backfire, right? Because you think, okay, you're good. I'm good with people. I'm good with no, but you need to be here just to make sure,
right?
If you think of pilots fly every day, right? They go out, they still do the however many point check. They know what they're doing, but they still go through the process to make sure that they've checked off everything on that list in order to take off.
Right.
That don't matter if they've been doing it 2 years or 25. It's still it's still the thing that's necessary to go in there. And, you know, kind of jumping a little bit to the side with that is preparing for things and them not necessarily turning out doesn't mean you were wrong, right?
Right.
That goes back to way in the beginning when we were first starting the show, and the outcome bias mm-hmm. to where, you know, find ourselves basing our idea of the energy and effort we put in as a direct correlation to the outcome. And that's right. not always, right? But if you put in what you feel is your best effort, that's your best effort. Mm-hmm. And that might have been different from another day, but that mm-hmm. day, that was your best effort.
Right.
And there's some peace that typically comes with that.
Right.
You know, I find that in scenarios I've been in where it's like, you know, could I have done better? No, I put a lot of effort, didn't work out how I wanted to, but I know I put the work in.
Right.
And it's not like I just sat like, I'll figure it out. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and it's a constant. You know, we talk about stuff, and you know, talk about some of our own personal formulas, and it's like, you know, you come to my house, you see it's stuff up on the walls, these phrases,
right.
It's stuff taped on the door, my mirrors in my room, you know, got little stuff written that right. I walk through and say these things regularly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's something that I look in the mirror, because am I saying this just to say it? I need to see that I'm saying this, and the look on my face is if I'm believing what I'm saying.
Right.
Again, that may seem to somebody, that may be foreign to a lot of people. It may seem cheesy, but it's what works for me. Right. And it's just those small things of making sure to practice on yourself, practice right. your presence.
Right.
Like, we all want to be able to leave something, and it's great. Be yourself. I'm not saying like you got to come in and be somebody. No, be yourself. But there's always a version of yourself that can be sharper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I believe that. Yep.
There's always. So it's putting that effort in and just continue to keep developing that.
Right.
And, you know, even if it's as simple as, hey, you know, me hitting you up, David, and being like, bro, let me run this little pitch to you right quick and, you know, give me the breakdown on this.
Mm-hmm.
And running that through. Get some feedback in person, too, because, you know, you may be able to catch something that I didn't see in this, and also in real time.
Right.
Sitting in the mirror doing it is only one part. That's giving you a reference point, so you kind of know how to make your face and, you know, how your posture looks when you stand this way or that way. Because there's a lot of things that, I mean, I'm sure we all have had the moments of somebody being like, why are you mad? And you're like, I'm not, what?
Right.
Like, I'm regular.
And right.
So you having to be aware, like, what is that face? Go see what that face is like. And be aware that that's what you're making it. And even if you're regular, and again, don't have to crocodile grin, but be aware.
Right.
Because that can change the whole flow and the whole exchange of energy that's happening. Because somebody might be feeling like, I'm talking to a brick wall, and you're the whole time, you're concentrating, but not aware that your face is saying, I don't want to hear this.
you know
what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's just, you know, being aware, practice your presence.
I think that ties extremely nicely in with the idea of calculated conversation. You know, I always talk about, you know, having these conversations and and being transparent enough, you know, and strategic enough to where you get people to feel the way you want them to feel, mm-hmm. you know, or make sure that they get the information you want them to get, mm-hmm. or, you know, wanting to ensure that they get the facial expression that you want them to have. You right. know what I mean? Like, right. it can really tie in, you know, and, you know, like you said, polishing yourself up and, you know, making sure that you understand your own energy and your own reflection and your light and knowing how that works and using that to the advantage for yourself and for those around you, you know, is in an ideal situation. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be a beautiful thing. And again, I believe life will make more sense. Right. You know, the world will make more sense. You'll understand it a little bit more because typically when you give people the feeling of you know, welcomeness and mm-hmm. you know, and it's all strategic, typically you gain more information, you learn more, you become wiser, you make better connections, right. and it just kind of domino effects around as people see that, like, this guy makes people feel good,
right?
You know what I right. mean? And this is somebody that I need you to meet, right. and I want you to work with him,
right?
You know, and this stuff happens all the time, and it's a right. wonderful thing, you know. And being comfortable with it, you know, and trying to make it a natural occurrence,
right.
Is something, you know, that, you know, the most aware people are able to really, really benefit from.
Yeah.
And those people are really, really becoming really, really happy in their place in the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an amazing tool, you know. Any tool that gives you a chance to take a look at who you are and what you're doing and what you're putting out, and you being humble enough to understand, you know, again, you know, it can break down to two different sections, like a section of intention and a section of results, mm-hmm. you know. And a lot of time we got to make sure that we understand both of those, because they not always the same thing.
Nah.
Even though depending on what side of the fence you're on,
right.
and if you close-minded or you're not really aware enough, you may see it as the same thing, and they're not.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And when you know they're not, then you know that you have a chance to influence in a certain area that you might have been missing in.
Right.
And then you can kind of, I feel like, structure the whole interaction. And then it's like, and then the confusion, I don't know, it's just, I think it's really cool to just see, you know, confusion being settled by information being disclosed.
You know, that's what typically you see in really good salesmen.
Right, right.
Their ability to notice the temperature change
mm-hmm.
and then to redirect the energy towards heating it up or cooling it back down.
Right.
That's an amazing skill. And develop, right? That's what, there's so many crazy amount of books and how-tos, and I think, but a part of it has to be you, because
right.
you can read and take in, but it's like, you know, putting these things in practice. But it's amazing watching those people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It made me think about with a piece of a video that was playing when I was nodding off, and they were talking with Pac-Man, Nip's homie, and one of the DJs that were interviewing them were just talking about how Nip always was trying to plug people in.
Right.
So it was always like, oh, here, like, he was trying to set you up. Whatever you needed, oh, I got you. And make that connection right quick and then let you handle
right.
you know, it from there.
Yeah.
But understanding the consistency of that
right.
being said across the like whole zeitgeist, right? And that's the piece.
Right.
You found the ability to make people feel important, to feel valued,
mm-hmm.
felt like they were worth this time.
Yeah.
And it's those simple things, right?
Right.
Definitely being able to kind of gauge, being able to be aware of self, not gauge, but being able to be aware of yourself and what that is, that intention and that impact. Being more aware
mm-hmm,
of how that works
yep.
puts you in a position of that, right? For the most part, we all want to make, we typically want to make, you know, the people around us comfortable, cool, or whatever it may be in most scenarios, right? And so in doing that, taking that time to step back, recognize self, I think it's, I seen a meme, and this is in line, that was like, I don't know if everybody around here got me effed up or I need counseling. Right. That's a thing, right?
Right.
Where, what is the consistent issue? And it's like, the common denominator in all of this?
You.
Right?
Yeah, because everybody can.
8 out of 10 people is responding to you in a certain way. Like, you might have to look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And again, and I noticed it's 8 out of 10, because that can be positive. And those two, you know, might not vibe it for whatever reason.
Right.
But if 8, then you're doing pretty good.
Right.
Then the flip side of that is, if 8 people's like, eh, it's just something I'm not.
Right.
And you getting that, then you might have to, you know, check self. And again, that goes back to your intention may not have been to put them off or anything right. like that, but that's what was was the result of whatever energy you were putting out.
Right. Right. If you're not doing those, you know, those calculated, you know, scenarios in your mind, you know, and really, really knowing what results you want out of this and strategizing towards that. I mean, anything could happen.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people do, you know, and again, that's how we get into a situation where I feel like a lot of people, there's certain things happening to them and they just don't know why.
Right.
You know, and again, do people got me effed up or do I need counseling, you know? And, you know, chances are, like you said, if it's 8 out of 10 telling you the same thing, that's not super positive, then, you know, you might, I don't know about counseling, but, you know, some self-reflection. You don't need some self-reflection and self-awareness. Yes. And make sure you start to study yourself. I mean, really, really studying yourself. And I think breaking yourself down is just probably the best thing that anyone could ever do for themselves.
And most difficult. So
and
make sure
and it's hard.
Difficult.
And,
but
and don't break your friends down without them breaking themselves down first, because they're going to get on your tail.
I say it's worth it, won't say it's fair.
Didn't Nip say that?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so yeah, that's that calculated thing. I mean, it's so universal, you know, it really can, you know, transcend so many different scenarios and circumstances in life. I mean, it's got to be something that we take serious if we ever really want to have the impact that we have and kind of reach the level you want to reach. We got to know how to use ourselves, you know, to the advantage of ourselves and right. and the people around us. Otherwise, we're going to forever be confused about what we are and why we're here. And, you know, we have to be open-minded enough, humble enough to be able to even look at it, because it is a blurry and confusing, and sometimes it's an ugly picture.
Don't be the energy that's blocking your own blessings.
Right. Sometimes it's just like the mirror when you had a hot shower and you get out, you can't see nothing and you think you look good.
So for the listeners too, right quick again, 503-231-8187. Mm-hmm. You want to call in, chime, got any input on feedback. You want to tell David that the new signature line is really active.
Right.
Call in and do that.
Right. You can do that. Yeah. Yeah. New energy, man. It's been a lot of good things going. Working on getting the working on Walk This Way 5.
Walk This Way.
Taking it to the Star Theater. I had a really important meeting today with a wonderful gentleman who's been, you know, sold thousands of books and really into the speaking and coaching and stuff, man. And like, you know, he kind of really, really, I mean, some of the stuff you're saying today is crazy, because he really put me in a position to look a little bit deeper into what I'm doing and where I'm going with it, you know, and how maybe it's a lot deeper than even what I imagine. Just all the philosophies we work with, you know, can literally be broken down into their own sections.
Oh, yeah.
And here I am thinking that you can basically comprise all this information in one book, or, you know, one philosophy, you know what I'm saying? It's like the world is so complex and there's so much more to learn, you know, just being open-minded. And being able to, you know, take advantage of things that don't normally look like something that you would even be involved in is where a lot of the blessings, I think, get hidden, you know. And so and that's why I think sometimes we have to slow down on our own decision making, you know. And a lot of times, you know, take stride, you know, with the vibes of just, you know, your being energetically, your energetic connection to whatever's bigger than you. And listen to some of the, you know, some of the messages that they send, and try to take them serious. And a lot of times they won't make sense to us, you know, but in the end, you know, we find a direction that we were looking for, you know, when they show it to us. And we were looking at the other place the whole time. And it goes for relationships, career. I mean, everything that you think you want could be literally somewhere where you were raised and bred not to even look. So again, the process of unlearning, you know, or at least challenging, you know, some of your previous, you know, philosophies or formulas is always welcome, to make sure that you in line with the growth and the elevation of oneself, you know.
That, so two things. First off, it's interesting how the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Right.
I think that's why there's this, and this isn't a promotion for people going to college or nothing, but I think there's something that comes with people going to college and the studies that go in to that, and then realizing like, oh,
right.
There's a lot more to it. But with that, there's this, I'm trying to think of what the, it's a book, and I'm missing out, because your book right there is making me think of the way, is it the way of the water? The way of water. Anyways,
right.
it'll come to me. But the flow of, or the idea of flow, right? And trying to find that. And as you were just saying, of your, you know, these careers, these places that you thought never to look.
Right.
There's something I'm betting that a lot of people haven't thought about doing, which is arguing their own opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like taking the time to argue your own stance with yourself, of course, right? And something about doing that, and this is like, okay, you say you can't do something, right? Say like, oh, that's not for me. Why? Take the time to try to argue why it could be for you.
Right.
Try to make that stance. And again, not saying this is just something that this magical, all of a sudden it's all fixed and so on. But you'll find often that if you put some time and energy, because a lot of our opinions and stuff has been built up over, you know, gradual time. It's our whole life past that's kind of built the way we are and how we see things and why we lean the ways we lean. But taking the time to kind of go against what you actually believe, mm-hmm. you'll find that there's some strong points to make a case.
Yeah.
Like I did that, you know, with some of these college courses, writing assignments, where it was like, I just went against whatever it was that I believed. I just went on the opposite side of that just to see, just an exercise in it. And then found like some pretty good points to argue against what I actually felt, what I thought I believed,
right.
My opinion, right? But I think that that also works in the case of career.
Right.
I think that works in the case of this new venture,
mm-hmm.
you know, this task, this whatever, that you think that you just don't belong or you wouldn't be a good fit. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things that may just not be for you, right? But there's a lot of things that are not for you only because you've already told yourself it's not for you.
Right. Right.
And it's just this belief that, oh yeah, nah, that doesn't happen for people like me. That doesn't, that won't, that couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But taking some time to actually research it a little bit and research yourself at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going against what your argument is. This is something I do regularly in the idea of career fields, making these switches, right. Trying to make a switch and realizing that I've argued my opinion of this narrative and I've argued for it and then started arguing against it. Like, nah, I can do this. This is, and without even having this certain background, right? That I can figure this out. There's too many resources and so on out there that I can get caught up to speed on and jump in and been doing it. And so having those moments to really challenge yourself by arguing against your belief And again, your belief and your soul may hold. I'm not saying that that's just going to break down and all of a sudden now you're changed in the way you're coming at something, but at least understand the other points,
right?
The other points that can be given. And I think there's something to that, that it takes time and it takes actual effort, because again, you've got 10 things for why it won't work versus this two or three things of why it could.
Right.
So that's going to weigh out, because those 10 things that are telling you no to that, that's in your favor.
Right.
So that lets you stick with it. But then those 3 points, though, those might get legs later. And understanding if you have those are the reference points that can be built on. Now each 3 of those, you can build maybe 2 more parts off of those.
Right.
Now you've doubled that, tripled that. So it's just, you know, these small pieces.
Man, that is a crazy concept, man. But dang, one of the most, you know, creative I think I've heard in a while. Trying to switch sides and see if you can create arguments against your belief and just see how it feels.
Man.
I like that.
Man.
I'm going to try that in a couple areas of my life, you know, but I mean, just think about it. People really did that. I mean, just in general, just as it pertains to their belief about other people. You know, like if you be racist, then, you know, make a point against racism and why it's stupid,
man,
you know, and see what, how many points you can come up with.
And if you know, nothing else, and if you don't even, you know, want to necessarily use it for good, it's the idea of at least you're preparing yourself for any type of back and forth that you're having.
Right.
You're prepared for whatever can be somebody's counter.
Right.
This is why lawyers, great lawyers and attorneys, why they're able to do what they do. Because it's going back to that decision tree. Well, if I say this, these are the possible responses to that.
Right.
And these possible responses, this is my comeback for that. You know what I mean? So you can kind of set that up in a bunch of ways. But
deep.
One of the last things I wanted to touch on, I know we got a few minutes left, but about emotional anchors, right? So I came across this TED Talk. This dude's name was Timon Kraus. And what he talked about was our ability to give ourselves anchors for our emotions, right? And so to get everybody in the frame of mind, the Pavlov's training with the dog, where they rung a bell every time the dog ate, and then they removed the food, rang the bell, and just that without trying, it just triggered the reaction of being hungry, salivating, dog, right? So we can do this for ourselves, essentially. And what's crazy dope about this is he ran through this exercise and put this exercise like any other exercise, right? If you do this daily, if you're doing your preacher curls daily, you know, after a few months, you're going to be able to see, you know, you're going to have some muscle memory. Little things are going to start improving and changing, right? You're going to have that feeling, you know, that feeling. Now, what he did, the exercise was to close your eyes. Now, whatever emotion you're trying to elicit, whether it's calm, whether it's confidence, happiness, you think of 2 to 3 points in your life when you felt that emotion, like big ones. Now, walk through those emotions from what did you hear? What did you feel? Where was that feeling coming from? You know, if it was excitement, did it start, was in your stomach, was it your legs? You know, recall that feeling. Who was around you? What were the sounds? What were the smells? So this way, it's like all of your senses playing into this, right? Mm-hmm. Give yourself a second to walk through those. So that may be a couple minutes. And then think about, you know, if these are positive emotions you're trying to elicit, you'll notice yourself almost start to smile, reliving this. Right. And so now you're tying that in. And then what he did was at the end of that, giving yourself an anchor. So like press your thumb in the palm of your hand. Now that's tied in. Now, if that's a repetition, right, and you're doing that regularly, say there's a moment when you're feeling kind of down. Then you go and put your thumb in your palm and do that press. It's triggering those emotions that you wanted to be attached to that.
Oh, dang. That's crazy.
And how that can be done for confidence before going out to speak in front of a large group, your nerves is getting the best of you. So you think of these times when you were confident, you know, when you felt brave, like you had it, walking through that.
Mm.
and seeing how if you're practicing that on a regular, having these anchors, and that could be something as simple as, you know, putting your arms out, shaking your hands, you know, shaking it off before you walk out there, and doing that enough times, you're building that up. That's been something since, and this is maybe 2 weeks ago, I've had quite a few sessions of walking through that and having to remember that and giving myself, you know, these little triggers. And it's crazy how when you're just in that moment, which still ties into everything we've been talking about, reliving those and really letting all your senses take over, bro, like of how detailed you can get, right? Damn. With your experiences on recall. And then being able to pull that emotion up when you want it
when
to.
When you need it, yeah.
When you need it, yes. Right. So that's my piece. That's another episode.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we are down to a few seconds. We want to thank you guys for listening. Make sure that you keep in touch with us on our socials. Facebook, Calculated Conversation Radio Show.
Bam.
Twitter, @ Calculated Talk.
Bam.
IG, @ Calculated Conversation.
Bam.
Gmail, calculatedconversation@gmail.
Bam.
Website, www.calculatedconversation.com. And iTunes, Calculated Conversation.
Hey.
Google Play, I think. Calculated Conversation. We everywhere. So follow us. Stay in touch. Send us a note. Let us know how you're feeling. Thank you so much for listening.
Calculated everything.
Next Tuesday. We'll see you.
90.7 FM. This is KBOO. You're listening to the Melting Pot Radio Show. Happy New Year to everybody out there. This is KBOO.FM.